Hello, my name is Andon, and this is my dear friend Chris, and we're going to be speaking on auras tonight. We will be doing spiritual lessons every Tuesday night. I should have another guest on ever so often, because Chris, I believe, will get his own show because he's that good.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Chris, tell a little bit of yourself, please.
Okay, I'm living in New Zealand, a native New Zealander, and I've been working with sort of the personal growth spiritual world since about 85. I work with a variety of the psychic abilities. I do workshops on psychic awareness, psychic development, communicating with devas, nature spirits, and evolving different psychic abilities along the way. And I do general counseling work and other things as well. I'm a qualified hypnotherapist, NLP practitioner, and I've worked with the personal growth field for a number of years now, as well as the psychic and spiritual. And
Chris and I have known each other for a great many years now, and we basically believe in the same thing, but we walk a different path as we walk. But his views are different than mine on some things, and mine are different than his. So it shall be interesting, some of our views on auras tonight.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff on auras that I've developed over the years has been through personal experience. I haven't read a lot of books on it, and in fact, I've tended to avoid that and develop through self-awareness rather through theories and principles, which a lot of people read books and they get caught up in the theory rather than evolving the self to become capable of doing these things.
So we've had variations there at times. And then they'll say, oh, that's the way it is. Well, no, it isn't. A person should read more than one book on the same subject and then draw their own conclusion from the many different sources that they have read or looked at, etc. Don't you agree, Chris?
Definitely. The big thing I find, too, it's like when you read a book, get a second book to see whether it confirms or denies the first book, and then if it's different to the first book, you buy a third book to see which one of the first two books it validates. You're looking for a sense of opinion. Because what I find, when you find something that works, at a certain point of development of that ability, like for seeing auras, everybody will see the same thing in the same situation. So I look for people that are writing books that are seeing the same thing, and it becomes a repeat pattern. It's like the scientific world. When it looks to identify something or confirm the existence of something, it looks for repeatable proof. Anything that's real will appear the same. It's like if we have a round ball, it doesn't matter who you are, what religion you have, what faith, what belief, you will always perceive it as a round ball. And auras are the same. Because within the aura, the different lights and colors reflect different states of consciousness, and it doesn't matter who you are. When you're seeing somebody that, say, might be angry, you invariably always see that as red. When you see a high charge of energy, you will always see that as a variation of red.
Embarrassment would also turn red.
Very much.
Right.
Yeah. Now, what happens, you might say, well, why can red be so many things? What you find is within the color red, there is infinite number of tones of red. And no matter what tone you get, you can divide that tone and the next one to it in half and get two different tones. And you can divide each of those in half and then divide each of those in half. So you'll always end up with infinite variations of a color. And each one will have its own reflection of consciousness, its own perception of what that color is actually emotively containing and reflecting.
Also, Chris, I did want to say that we would be taking some callers if they have any questions. After we go through the lesson, please be patient with us until we are through with the lesson, and then you may do your calling. Thank you.
Yeah, much appreciated. Yeah.
So, Chris, would you like to start, or shall we just kind of just go half and half?
We'll just go half and half, because we usually work best like that.
All righty. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things that I'm looking at with auras that is probably going to be best to work with is if I'm going to ask you to sit down and just focus on your breath for a bit. And as you focus on your breath, just watch the awareness of what colors come to mind. Because working with auras isn't like you physically see with your eyes for most people. It's what colors come into your consciousness when you're focusing on something. So when you're breathing, noticing what colors come into mind. Now, for majority of people, I would expect them to come up with the same colors. So as you're breathing, you'll be aware of the breath, feel the flow of the breath, and as you move with that, feeling the breath come in, turn around, and go out again, what colors come to mind first? And as you feel that, just noting it. And if you do that with your family and friends, just noticing what colors they tend to tap onto first. Now, for most people, I would expect the same colors to be coming up as more common than other ones. If you get somebody that has an oddball color, as I call it, you'll probably find they might have an emotional impetus going on at that time. They're still caught up in an emotion or a sensation going on, which is reflecting something that's either happened for them personally or through the day somewhere. And that's a very simple way of just starting to tap into what is the first flash of a color. End on.
Yes, and we should know that our bodies, in fact, have the external...
End on, we can barely hear you.
Our bodies, in fact, have external forms, physical body matter, and we also have an emotional body, mental. And extended out from that, we have our spiritual body. This is the energy that we project through the extended body we call the etheric body, or the aura.
Yeah, now, within the aura, what I find is you actually get a series of layers within the aura and variations of what you're going to perceive as color. We have what's referred to as the chakra system, which is the original sources of energy within the body. We also have the meridian lines, which are also going to appear as color lines. We've got 10 meridian lines in the body, 5 on each side. They run from the toes up through the head, down through the arms and into the fingers. We also have the outer aura, which is reflecting around the body, and that quite often I find for most people will extend up to 30 feet from the body, and you can do different exercises and actually physically identify how far it goes out from the person. Now, the aura around the body I find is generally where we have the effects of our conscious mind. And one of the things I notice is we generate thoughts and feelings, they appear in the aura itself, which is often either in the body or external to it. And this can either harmonize or disharmonize with the body. The more we create harmonious thoughts, the more it benefits the body that way. The cells are affected by the aura. I find it's not the reverse. The cells don't affect the aura affects the cells is a tendency, but yet there is variations to that. Yeah. Now, what I look at is one of the things that I watch is quite often when we set up a thought pattern, it actually appears in the aura and you can see things external to the body. If you see a pattern forming in the external aura, which is a little bit detractive, as it gets close to the body and actually touches the body, that's generally the point that it becomes manifest in the body. So I quite often find it's like before you actually get, like, medically, sometimes you can actually see things happening in the aura and starting to come towards the body before they actually appear, and you can warn people about it before it actually happens. Or you can actually catch it in its early stages when medical intervention may not be immediately picking it up. But yet there is times I've seen things picked up further down the track, you know, 6-12 months down the track after they've been noted in the aura. So there's actually, you know, if you can see auras, you can actually start an intervention process earlier on.
And it's also good for medical checkup also, and you can see...
Bear with me, I know. I hate to break in, but you're coming in so light that it's very difficult to hear you. Do you have something that you can maybe, like, turn up your volume?
Yes, let me try that again, honey. Is that any better?
Can you turn it up any more? I think that might work. I apologize.
Oh, that's all right. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, the aura is also an electromagnetic field that surrounds the body, and it kind of just forms around. It could go from, like, just millimeters against your skin to way out, you know. Like Chris says, it can go up to 30 feet, and it manifests through your own body to, you know, depending on your state of physical, mental, and emotional, and spiritual health is what your aura will be. Now I'm kind of self-conscious because I don't know if anybody's hearing me or not.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
can you hear me?
I can hear you okay.
All right.
But I don't know how much of the listeners can. What I'm looking at, heading in here with the aura, is often what we're looking at reflecting. Like a lot of people want to know what colors are in the auras, and one of the quickest way I say to look at what's in your aura is actually to look in your wardrobe. The colors that we wear tend to reflect the colors that we're going through at the time, and they're the colors that we're drawing ourselves to. And the colors that we wear can actually help influence our thought patterns. And you can look in your wardrobe and ask yourself, am I comfortable with this color being a part of my energy field, part of my aura? Do I want to add to it, take away from it, or whatever? Because you can actually influence what colors are in your aura by what wear. And the closer you wear a color to your body, like whether it's a piece of underclothing or an outer clothing item, can depend on the influence it actually has on us. So there's very simple things that you can do to actually work with auras. Other ways of doing it is having coloured light, just coloured objects around your house. It's like the seat you sit on, what colour is it? Or do you have a couch, you know, what colour is that? Do you have a favourite cushion? You know, even what colour is your cat sometimes? And all these things can actually have influence on us. Yeah, it's quite an amazing process to watch and take part of and actually experiment with it. You know, one of the things you can get is a torch and just put a bit of cellophane over it and just see how that colour feels to you. And, you know, just swap the colours of cellophane over the top of the torch, and it can be quite an experiment. You know, there's a lot of ways we can actually play with colours to look at what it means to us. Big thing I look at, you know, knowing how auras work is great, but it's actually bringing the practical things in of what we can do day to day that influence our aura and ways we can look at what is going on in our aura for us, which is through a simple way of looking at what clothing we're wearing and how that's actually influencing us. And you can look at changing the colors that you're wearing and watch what are different emotions and what different states you feel as you change the color of your clothing. End on. Back to you.
Right. Also, a person can change their aura color just by imagining what color they want to surround them at the time. You can be inspired to change your color. The more inspiration and more inspired that you are, the brighter your aura will be. So it is always a good thing to be happy and exuberant and just ready to take on the world. Just being happy, friendly, your aura will change. And your aura will change at any given moment. It never stays the same at any time. It's always changing because your mood is always changing.
Yeah. There's a fun little experiment I do with people in that area. You know, like a lot of people want to know what color their aura is.
Exactly. That's the first thing I get.
Yeah, and it's usually one for people who see aura. It's an instant cue for having a quick wee laugh because the aura's got so many colours in it. And to give people an idea, what I do is I get them to pick their little finger and put it on a surface location on their neck. And then for the next 30 seconds to a minute, I'll give them a running commentary of what colours I'm seeing on that single spot for that time period. And usually what I find is I can't keep up verbally with the changes that are happening on that fingertip point on the neck. It's just so rapid and so ongoing, you just can't verbally keep up with it. And that's happening all over the body at one point in time, or I should say any point in time. And it's almost like watching a combination of a fireworks display and a laser light show all in one go. It's just phenomenal to see. quite exciting. And, you know, quite often if I'm looking at people, if I'm scanning people or checking for people, because quite often I'll do health checks on people and looking to see if there's anything in their body that could do with a bit of attention, you know, I just focus on specific colours to give me that information. And there's a lot of other stuff I just leave off the side because it's not currently relevant to that. Yeah, there's just so much you can read in a body at one point of time. You tend to pick specific locations or areas to look at as to which colours you're going to read or get a feeling of at that time.
Yeah.
It's quite an amazing process, you know, until, you know, you get introduced to doing it, like you, whether you do it through a workshop or that or learn to do it for yourself, it's really tricky to understand.
Well, usually it's kind of best if somebody would help do that for you. When you're learning to read the aura, you should have a friend sitting in front of a white or black background, and with the lighting should be very dim so that the shadows dance upon the walls or the scenery, and the colors are not absorbed by the light, you know. Then the person should be, you know, very still, unmoving. Well, while they do this, you and the member of the circle, you and the other members, if you have other people around you, can just look into the light to find out. Let your eyes, through your thoughts, fade, loosen your muscles, and be open to what you are trying to perceive. See the person on the as a still form, and still try to feel their energy that they may give off.
Yeah. Now, at this point, I'm going to bring back to the original exercise, which I suggested to people,
right,
just tuning in with your breath. Now, for most people, I'm hoping that if you've had time to try this and just play around with it while we've been talking, if you've noted the colours that you originally had coming when you were focusing on your breath and just watching what colours came to mind, I'd be expecting a blue or green colour would have come up for most people. A yellow could have been secondary. Now, if you tune in right into your heart centre, you may have got a pink, but most people just surfacing on the breath, I would have expected a blue or a green.
Right.
And it's one that you can play around with, but what I'm looking at it is when you're actually looking at perceiving colour, be aware that you're not always looking for colour with your physical eye as much as your intuitive sight. Now, you can perceive some aspect of it with the physical eye. I find I can look at auras with my eyes closed or open, but it takes a time for me to adjust from using one facility to the other. So they do complement each other. One of the other ways you can get used to looking at non-physical colour is if you have the white background, like Endon said, get some A4-sized colour-coded sheets of cardboard and you want a bright colour. You hold it up, get somebody to hold it against the white background for a while, say 15 seconds, and then take it away rapidly and watch what colour you see where that white or where that cardboard colour was originally. And often what you'll see is the reverse of it. Like if you have an intense red, you'll take it away and you'll see a completely different colour. And what you're doing is getting used to seeing non-physical colours, because what happens when you have an intense colour like a red against a white background, your eyes bring up an opposite colour to balance the energy of the red stimuli, because it's too much red in one go. And as you take it away, you'll get a completely different colour. I can't quite remember offhand what colour we generally see, but try it, you'll find it. Generally what I'll do is I'll do about 5 or 6 different colours. I have red, yellow, blue, green, and, you know, whatever else I have available at the time. And as people get used to doing that, then I'll go to using just the white background. I'll stand in front of it with white clothes on so there's nothing bringing in that external colour, and then I'll step away after I've been standing there for about 20 seconds, to let people see what colours they see from where I've been standing, because you're getting used to using that process. And you can do this at home. It's quite easy. And just play with it. And then third step is you can get the person who's still got the white clothing on just to stand in front of it and see what non-physical colours you're getting used to seeing while the person's still standing there. And, yeah, it can be quite surprising. Most people I find that I can do this in 15, 20 minutes. It's quite an easy exercise and can be a great party trick, actually. So, Yeah, a lot of people are quite surprised at how easily they do see what I refer to as the non-physical colors.
People are really interested in knowing what color their aura is, you know. So would you like to talk about the different color vibrations that relate to these colors?
Yeah, I could do different aspects of that. What I look
everybody
at...
Everybody has a different meaning, I know that. Some people think that purple is just for, you know, being psychic. Well, that's not so, you know, not really, but... Or black and evil, you know, that's not true either.
Yeah.
But there's just so many different people or different subjects, sites that you can go to, and you'll find 15, 20 different definitions for the color of the auras, you know.
Yeah.
So.
The big thing I find with colors, like, this gets back to what I was referring to with shading of color before. Shade of a color is important, like in their heart chakras are green, but it's generally a bright, sort of almost fluorescent green that we're actually finding in the heart chakra. It's a very bright, very vibrant when it's in full flow. Now, some people have a flow that's less than full, so the shading actually drops down. It becomes less bright, less vibrant, and if you stretch your greens out enough, you get into what I refer to as the army green. The army green is not what I call a harmonious green. It's out of harmony green. Now, orange, quite often, is another example, is one that is referred to as a healing color. Now, the pumpkin orange is a very vibrant healing color. But if you get into what I call the red brick orange, I don't know if you have that in America, but we have it in New Zealand. The red brick orange is a very slow, almost unhealthy stage of orange. You know, it's just a shift across the phase of colors. Colors have their vibrant side and they have their low vibrancy side. And anywhere in between can be, we can be found on the spectrum. And as we shift our consciousness, the shading of those colors can change. It can change over a long period of time, it can change in an instant. And if you look at the color black, sometimes you can get a black. But a black, a lot of people relate to as negative, but it's not always that way. It's not just the shade of the color, it's how we use that consciousness that that color reflects. Black can be a very closed, a very shut off, a very inward color, but yet somebody who has a balanced inward nature can use that as an introspective color to learn to understand and learn from themselves, where somebody who shuts off to the world and just sort of goes, I don't want to know about it, can push that world away and use it to close down so they don't see what's there. Now, the other side that I find is important, when a lot of people, I find, literally get traumatized when somebody says, oh, you've got this dark spot in your aura, and they get worried about the dark spot, or you've got a shadow. Now, often what I find the dark spots and the shadows are relating to is it is just where the light of consciousness is currently not shining. What it's telling us is there's something in our aura that we haven't become conscious of, or we're not in our awareness at the moment. We need to enlighten that spot, bring the light of consciousness into it, to become aware of it. Now, when we have our shadow side, which sometimes we have when, if I'm doing regression work or even past life regressions with people, we have these dark places we go back to. And once again, that's just reflecting where we're not currently conscious, and we just need to bring our consciousness into those dark places. Now, I wanted to emphasize that because I find a lot of people literally feel upset when they've been told they've got a dark spot or a shadow in their aura. And I want to say that it's not always a negative thing. It's just something we're not currently conscious of that may be good for us to become conscious of.
I was doing a little web searching today, and I was looking up some other sites on auras, and I come across one, and I read it, and I read it, and I looked at it again. I looked at it this way, and I looked at it that way, and it says black means that you are an evil person, you know, and that you're just wicked. And I just said, whoa, you know. I didn't know about that, but to me, black is not a gloom aura. It's highly understanding.
Yeah.
In a quiet way, you know.
Definitely.
And it's also, it shows dignity without false pride.
Yeah.
So, you know, the color really commands a lot of respect.
Yeah.
It can be dynamic, you know.
Yeah, very definitely.
And very empathic also.
Yeah.
It's a very strong color.
Yeah. And that's such a thing for me. It's like, you know, when you get those variations of a color, you can actually get so much excitement from it because, you know, if you get something, it's like the inward side where you get the quiet, contemplative person who's not so outwardly expressive, you know, there can be such a joy in discovering that person that it actually becomes quite exciting. And it's like, you know, I look at colors and it's like, you don't look just at one color because you're looking at all the colors around it.
Right.
And, yeah, you know,
like
to me, it's
like a multi-color kaleidoscope around you.
Yeah.
There's just, it's just amazing if you could just see what we see as far as the coloring of a person around them. You can pretty much tell if they're sad, they're lonely, or they're going through some type of depression, or they're on some type of medication, or they have a health problem. Anything. And it also should be known that animals also have auras.
Yeah.
And rock, plants, and other, any object has an aura around it.
Yep. Anything that exists has aura.
Exactly.
Absolutely anything.
Anything.
Yeah. It's quite an exciting one because just before we came on the radio here, my flatmate and that was asking me about animals, and we were talking about animal auras, and we've had a cat there, and we're just sitting there studying, reading its aura, and looking at, basically, animals have guides and things as well, and we're actually having a lot of fun talking about the aura and the guides and what's the interaction between the two, and yeah, it was quite an exciting little experiment, actually.
Well, I was going to a short thing on animal totems. That'll be for another night. Which I'm more involved with is animal totems, since I'm native in descent, and I believe in the ancient ways. So, but I also believe in the ancient ways of aura reading also. A little bit different than that. You can go outside if you want to, into the clouds. You know, where the clouds are out, you know, and you're seeing yourself for the first time, you can look, put your arm up towards the cloud, and you can actually see a ring around your arm. You know, you can see that little force field around your arm, and then you can take it quickly away, and then you'll see other colors that will flash above your eyes, within your eyes, you know. So there's just a lot of different ways and a lot of different techniques that everybody that people can study auras. And so many have different expectations or different theories on auras, and they also have different theories about the coloring also. Like I was talking about the black, definitely that is not a evil color.
Definitely not.
It's not an evil color.
Yeah. Black's one that I've worked with a lot with people. You know, because it's one that often brings a lot of concern for people. And most people, you find it's got a positive thing behind it. And this is why I emphasize, and I can't help but emphasize enough, black generally is just where the light of consciousness is currently not shining. And all it means is we're not consciously aware of that part of ourselves at this moment. Now, we can become conscious of that. Now, often black, when we go into our consciousness, is involved around maybe repressed memories or just literally a part of us that we haven't learned to develop our skill and our talents. Now, within this, I'll emphasize, you know, the saying that comes to mind for me is what from Nelson Mandela, who said the thing that we're most afraid of is fulfilling our greatest potential. And a lot of us actually have our full potential hidden behind a shadow. And in that respect, not only is it positive, what it is hiding is positive. It's positive in the sense that it has a positive energy waiting to be utilized. Now, it's positive because the energy that is there is fully functioning for us. It's there, it's alive, it's vibrant, it's just waiting to be used. Now, once we allow ourselves to be comfortable with our potential and conscious of it, it comes light. And the light of that energy becomes fully functioning in our lives. That way, to me, black is a positive thing. And also, you find people that meditate a lot, sometimes they might be going inwards to a place and they're going in to evolve. Rather, they're not closing off to the outside world. They're just being reflective and inward. To me, it's a bit of a winter color in a way. Now, it's something we do. The winter things slow down and we just go inward.
Also, colors also are giving a numerology number. Like, number one is black, number two is yellow, number three is purple, number four is orange, number five is blue, number six is green, number seven is gray.
Interesting. It's one line of thought that I haven't come across before, so it's quite enlightening for me to even hear that.
Let's see. Was it one?
Yeah.
I have it written down here again, so I won't forget it. But I'm into numerology big time, and number nine is red. And you know, and in this list, if gold is regarded as the equivalent of orange, which is number four, and silver is the same as gray, which is number seven. And they're also given in astrology; they're all assigned a number. Everything is a number, you know. But our auras are numbers. Our body is a number. Everything's a number. So we'll get into that at another time. Right now, we're going to finish up our aura lesson.
Okay.
I get.
Yeah. One of the things I was going to say to end on is, with the word evil, like for a lot of people listening, if you're going to websites, always feel free to check a variety of websites to validate information. I can't emphasize enough for people how important that is. Don't just get one person's opinion and take it as the truth. Always, always cross-check. It's so important. And there's a thing I look at. If somebody isn't giving a positive path for something or a positive way to work with something, then you haven't got the full story. Everything is a process of evolution. No matter what it is or where it is an evolvable thing. Even perfect harmony is an evolvable process, an evolvable place. Believe it or not, you can actually build on it. So, you know, if somebody was to use the word evil, I would say that's a limitation of what's being talked about. There is far more to the story than that. It's only a part of what's around. And to me, when I look at the word evil, it's just live spelt backwards. Somebody that's just heading in the wrong direction. They're heading away from life rather than towards it. And if you look at that and you say, okay, all I need to do is turn around and change direction or something. So don't get too caught up in the words and things. Always make sure whatever you're working with, if it's a whole tool in itself, it'll be taking you in a positive direction. It should be helping us unfold instead of, you know, anything else.
And please, do not let anyone tell you that you have a black aura and there is something wrong with you, or that you have evil tendencies, or there's a dark person around you. That's what I call drama readers. They will do that just to get them, just to make themselves feel good. Their ego is overrunning their abilities.
Yeah. When you're getting aura readings, for those just taking this a step further, when you're looking at getting readings for people, what you're working with is what you've got and where you can go with this. Everything is about a path, because we're, you know, part of our evolution is traveling the path. As we travel the path, we evolve where we're currently at into the next stage of our progression, you know, and it's taking one step at a time. Whatever you've got is what you're evolving from at this point in time. So once again, whatever you're being told should be helping you go further than where you're currently at. And that's what's important. We're looking for that next step, the next movement, or the way to go beyond what we're currently doing. And this is both mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. End on.
I was just so engrossed in your voice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You know, As we become more conscious or to our higher self, as some like to call it, I just say it growing. But I'm a simple person. It's growing. You know, you're learning to be better than what you were before. You're learning new things. You're walking a path, and you're leading your way up, upwards to another level. And I believe in being inspired to be in spirit. Now, to begin with, to be inspired, you have to be in spirit. So that means your happiness. So the happier you are, again, I'm going back to this again, the better your aura will be. The more relaxed you are, the better your aura will be. So essentially, one must create a feel or feelings within themselves to create a balance within their aura. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally. The thing I find with balance, like a lot of people want to understand, you know, what balance is, what harmony is, and things like that. Whenever we look at situations, we look at the left, the right, the yin and the yang, in, out, black, white, there's all these things we talk about, duality. But when you look at it on, like, the scale of a pendulum, a pendulum swings from one side to the other, from left to right, whatever way you want to call it, from yin to yang. But in the middle of that swing, if you let the pendulum eventually slow down, it stops in the middle. This is the place where it is still. Now, in that place, it's not one or the other, but it's both. And it's in that path of where we are both, but neither, that we're in harmony. And this is what we do with our life. Sometimes we wander from one side to another, but it's when we're in the middle, we're traveling the middle road, the harmony road, which is the middle of the pendulum swing, that we actually flow. This is where we get the straight line. And, yeah, that goes into a whole lot of other subjects, which we'll probably look at it other programs or other times. And what I encourage people to do with this is when you're doing something, like you can just get a feel of something. If you're tossing up between two decisions, look at where you get a sense of harmony between one. You know, if you hold like one decision in one hand, which may seem a strange thing to do, but you can try it. If you've got a decision, put one in one hand and one choice in the other hand and see which one feels right. Or maybe it's a variation of the two, because the end decision may actually be either, but may be a variation of both. So it's always important, I find, to follow that. Follow what is the feeling here? Where's the middle road, the middle path? Yeah.
And the person should also get into the habit of how to condition your aura, how to intensify your aura. Conditioning your aura is like cleaning, like taking a shower or mentally sweeping your mind to a clean feeling within yourself. People will just, what I like to do is when I'm cleansing my aura, I'll get into the shower and I'll feel like I'm just rinsing all the negativity down and out. You know, it's just from the head down. It's cleaning it out. And then during the daytime, if I feel like I'm just a little bit drugged out, you know, like a little tired or anything, I'll take my arms wide out and I'll come from the crown of my head and just kind of just push down to my feet, and that pushes all the negativity out, and then I can go on my way again. So that's the cleaning of your aura to keep it nice and bright. That's what you want. You want a nice, bright aura.
Now, we thought here, which I'll drop in, and this is where Endon and I have variations. One thing I find when you're cleansing the aura, if you brush down, always remember to turn around and bring it up as well.
Bring it back up again.
Yeah.
I just forgot.
Yeah, it's all right. I wasn't sure
That's
how
what
much
I have
it was a difference. Yeah. There's an interesting thing. Aspects of cleaning and working with the aura that are worth looking at is, if you're going through the aura, you'll probably come across your chakra system somewhere along the line. Now, within the chakra system, important point to remember is if you're balancing chakras, what you do is you're bringing them all to the same size. Now, when you find your chakras, if one's smaller than the others, you don't reduce the other ones in size to the size of the smallest one. You bring the smaller ones out to the size of the bigger ones. Because if some part of you is evolved enough to be more vibrant than the others, then you evolve the other chakras out to the same level to keep your body in balance. if some particle has evolved enough that it's larger than the others, you don't want to reduce that evolution down to restrict that part of yourself. So you always bring your chakras out to the size of the larger one. The other thing I do with aura is that if you feel you're a bit out at any time and you want to do something for yourself, is I just suggest you sit down somewhere and you visualize yourself coming up to a garden. And as you come up to that garden, you go into it, find a flower that you feel attracted to, and put your, just in your mind, visualize and putting your hand below the flower and allow the flower to drop a petal into your hand. Notice the color of the petal that comes into your hand, and it may change color as it touches your hand. And you bring it up to your heart and allow that color to flow through you. You breathe into that color, and then as you're breathing out, you breathe that color out to wherever it needs to go in your body. And as you do that, you can say thank you to the flower. Sometimes I hand the petal back to the flower. In your mind, you can do this. And then I'll leave the garden saying thank you to it. And I can go to that garden any time I want. And this is a simple exercise you can do any time of the day. And I find you don't have to believe in auras and chakras to do this to make you feel good. Anybody can use this exercise and feel good with it. It brings a color into your body or a sense of vibrancy that you may not have had at that moment.
The essential oils also will help bring your senses up also, like roses, lavender, honeysuckle, those that you can just let fragrant around you to inhale the essence of it. It will help create a better balance within you also.
Yeah, it's quite a big one, and quite often if you're looking at the flowers and that, even if you know the color of the flowers, you quite often find that energy alone will be retained in the oil as well, which is quite a nice thing about oils. And one of the things with oils as well, like you can have a bottle of it, even if you're not using that oil, just having a bottle of it around will actually extend that vibration out to actually work with the aura itself. Because once again, if we go back to the principle where the auras do extend quite a way beyond the body, whatever that aura is in touch with, it will be picking up the vibration of that to an extent. Which is always an interesting thing too. There's one thing I would add into that. When you're aware that your aura extends out far and picks up on things, if you want to know what might be happening in your life that's worth looking at, if you're wanting to look at personal issues, always look at common themes that may be coming up in your friends at that time. Because often we draw people to us who will bring out or look at the issue that we need to resolve or work with or evolve through. And quite often I find, you know, groups of people will have common themes that's coming up for them at a particular time, which is just a way of drawing your attention to it and saying, hey, this might be worth looking at.
Exactly. A person's mental attitude also comes into this. How you're feeling, what you're thinking, what is coming up into your life? Do you have a bill to be paid? Do you have a past due bill? This will kind of bring you down also, especially if you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay it. Other little things, your neighbor walks by and gives you a look and you go, you know, but that's because your state of mind has to be more of a pureness, and, you know, so that create your aura to be, like I say, bright and shiny, so that you're staying in a healthy mood. The brighter and shinier that your aura is, the healthier the person will be.
Yeah. One of the things...
The healthier your soul will be also.
Yeah. One of the things I find, like a lot of people I find are looking at, you know, how do you become positive when you're not feeling positive? And one thing I find that works well is always come back to simple exercises. Don't go making things complicated. If you want to become positive, just look for beauty in something. Pick something which reminds you of beauty, whether it's a picture, an object. For me personally, I use flowers a lot. I just get a flower and look at the beauty of a flower. And once you get something that triggers that sense of something beautiful, you can just breathe into that sensation, like you imagine breathing that emotion in. And once again, just use the breath to imagine breathing that feeling out to wherever it needs to go in your body. as your body gets used to orientating to this feeling, your consciousness gets used to orientating to this feeling, which gets back to, you know, the power of reinforcement. The more you focus on a thought, the more you develop a thought. And once you get used to experiencing something, your brain actually forms the connections for it to become part of your consciousness.
Yes, that's a reprogramming of your mind to create a well-balanced life.
Yeah. And once you've got that sense of balance, you can actually extend it out into, you know, you just see things more positively, more constructively, more creatively. And on back to you. Sorry, I interrupted there.
You kind of dropped me there for a second. Well, I was thinking of something else totally different, but I want to go back again to creating a special aura around you. I am more into you create what you are, who you are, and what you want to be by using your mind. Reprogram your mind to be anything you want. If you could just say, use some power words. You don't use the words like not, won't, things like that. You use words like, I will be better. I will do this. I will do that. I am worthy. You know, most people think, well, I will not. Well, that right there will say, you failed, because the word not will stay in your mind. It won't go back into your subconscious, the word not. For some reason, it just won't do it. And that stays with you. So what you're actually saying is, I'm not going to get well. When if you would say, I will get well, you will be well. See, it's just a matter of reprogramming your mind to create whatever you want. And that includes your aura and the different layers and the... your soul, your energy level, you just keep bringing it up, and the higher you bring it up, the higher level you bring it up, the better off the person is going to be. Healthy, wealthy, and they will be wiser.
Yep. There's an interesting bit you said there, end on which I'd like to spend a few moments on, and
sure.
That's actually the soul. Like I find within people's auras, you can have all sorts of things happening in your auras, but throughout it, there's a point within us in what I call our soul center that always stays whole, that has everything that we are waiting for us to come out. You can't lose anything. You are always there to be found. Like if people feel, you know, they learn something and worry about losing it. If something is real, you can't lose it. And what we are at our hearts and in our souls is real. It can't be lost. We may lose sight of it, we may pretend it's not there, or try and avoid it, but we can't lose it.
Exactly. Our soul is us. Within our own selves is everything we need to know. All we have to do is tap into it to realize that we do have the power to do what we want through our body, our mind, and our soul. And
yeah.
Nobody can teach you anything because you already know it. You just have to look inside and see it.
Yeah, which comes back to maybe a little bit of a controversial point for some people, but I find, for me, what I find is we actually know everything. We are already enlightened, all of us. We're just becoming aware of that consciousness. Now, a lot of worried people are trying to work towards enlightenment, whereas I say we've already got it, we've just got to unfold it. And what I suggest with that is, if you think to when somebody's told you something and you go, you have that dawning moment where it makes sense, it's like it just fits into place, because that part of us there is always there where it fits. It already has the awareness of what belongs there. It's just waiting to be awoken to it. But what I say is, it wasn't like it was empty. It was, once again, it was one of those places that was shadowed by the lack of consciousness. It was where the light of consciousness wasn't shining, and it is now shining. Our consciousness awakens to these awarenesses. They're there, sitting, waiting to be unfolded. And it's not that we don't have all the answers, because I say we've got all the answers, we've just got to ask the right question. And once again, if you just think back to when somebody said something to you and it suddenly just fits into place, it's like, that makes sense. Because all of us are sitting there waiting for it to make sense. We know what we're looking for. We just need to know where to find it.
Okay, now I'm going to go back to my little thing again. It's being inspired. Inspired means in spirit. In spirit means to be God-like. So when you are inspired, you are inspiring yourself to be in spirit, which will mean that you are more of a godlike person, which will bring all your emotions, your memories, and other feelings will come to a more heightened ability to yourself. It will just come to you. Things will just come to you if you will inspire yourself to be in spirit.
Now, one thing I tend to look at is a lot of people I find have been asking me, what is this about spiritual growth and, you know, stuff? What is actually spirit? Now, it may seem a very short answer, but to me, spirit is just that which is non-physical. We're looking for the spiritual part, but it's also that part which lifts us out of our physicalness into a lighter sensation. It's leading us forward, that which takes us towards a more evolved state. Now that may sound very simple, but when you get down to it, really is that easy. Generally, the things that makes it complicated and difficult is the things that take us out of that, which is the sense of separation, the belief in separation. Spirit is where there is no separation. And that may take quite a bit for some of us to grasp at times, but when you get the sense of spirit, it's almost like a gas. It just flows everywhere and around everything, and it can flow through everything almost. Once you get to look at that sensation, because, you know, when I'm talking about it flowing through everything, it's almost like everything's like a sponge. It has a porous nature, and gas can flow through that. Spirit's a very pervasive thing. Everywhere the same is the way I describe it. Quite an interesting point.
And it creates your in spirit just by being inspired. I love to talk about being inspired, because everybody needs a little inspiration. They need to be uplifted. They need to do this within themselves. Nobody can do it for you. You just have to know that at any given point, when you feel down, all you have to do is just say, "Stop. I'm not going to do this anymore. I will not be sad. I'm going to be happy." And put a smile on your face, and pretty soon pictures of happiness will come through your head, and you will feel this happiness through your body. Therefore, you are then inspired yourself to be happy. It's that simple.
Now, a lot of that, once again, I find that if you want to use triggers for that, it's just looking for things around you that do give you that sense of upliftment. You know, as I say, I use flowers a lot. Some people use colors. You might have a special object around you. If you're going through periods where you're feeling maybe the downside of the emotions, just have something that means something to you, that connects you back to a positive emotion. Once you've got that, then you can use that to build on. You can bring that into the rest of your life. You know, one of the things I find, you know, is an uplifting thing and a simple way of looking at things is, if I go back to a quotation from the Bible, come ye, unto, now I'm trying to remember if I get this, come ye as children unto the kingdom of heaven. To me, what I look at when I see that is, when we come as children, children are the ones that have the innocence. Children aren't caught up in judgment or anything else, which are what I call the complicated emotions. They just look at something, and they're just in the experience of what something is. They're not deciding whether it's right or wrong. They're just experiencing as it is. Very simple, very in the moment. They're not analyzing it. They're not trying to quantify it. They're just having the experience. And we as adults sometimes miss that. And when you look at children, they have happiness, they have joy, they have abundance, they have love, they have compassion, they have sadness, all very simple emotions. What we tend to do as adults is don't lose those. We just tend to lose sight of a bit behind analyzing something, whether it's right or wrong. And we tend to miss actually having the experience. We're too busy quantifying it. So when I say everything's simple, it's when you just come back to the experience and say, well, what's the experience of it before I analyze it? You actually get to have it for what it is, which is actually learning to experience ourselves for who we are before we analyzed ourselves and figured out whether we looked right, we looked wrong, we looked too high, too short, you know, we looked just right or too fat or too skinny. You know, there's all these things we do, and while we're doing those, we're not actually taking the time to be ourselves. And what I tend to look at when I'm looking at auras is how much the person's actually in what they're doing, or it's actually been, it's how to describe it. If I describe it, when I look at a person, when they're not happy with themselves, what you see is they've actually almost got a second body standing outside their physical body because they're separated from it. And what I look for is reducing that separation where their physical body and their energy body becomes one and the same. Some people you'll find are out a little bit like, you know, somebody I was working on last night. Their center energy was 2 inches off alignment with their spine, so I just had to bring it back in their body. This person had a self-confidence issue, which was about feeling good enough. So when they weren't feeling good enough, it's like they weren't good enough to be in their body. So they're divorcing themselves from themselves. I just had to bring it back in. When you look at being just who you are, then everything's okay. There is no judgment that makes it wrong or not the place to be. It just is what it is.
Exactly. Again, we're going to go back to what I was saying before. It's being inspired to be enriched. You enrich your life by being inspired. The more inspired you are, the healthier you are.
I was going to say, and on what... Were we going to throw the phone lines open at some stage to see if we got any questions? Or?
Yes, that'll be fine. Anytime they want to start calling in, if you have a question for Chris or myself, please feel free to do so.
Yes, and more than welcome to call. We would love to hear from you. And as many questions as you've got, we're willing to answer as many as we've got time to at this stage. And the beautiful thing about asking a question for me is that whatever questions you've got about the aura, I'd like to look at those and see what we can do to build on where you're at or to develop your understanding. And Ed and I can, you know, we've got so much to offer and share and say that sometimes it's a matter of matching what we're saying up with what your needs are to understand what auras are for you in your life. And if we can build on that, it would be great.
You want me to give them the 800 number?
Donna, if you got that.
People, they can call the 800 number. It's 888-263, or I believe that's what it is. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't even know my own 800 number that's up there, but I think it's 888-263-4313.
Cool. Thank you for that. Much appreciated.
You're welcome. Now, I was just... I was going to say, I guess, Chris, you're going to be a regular co-host. I know the audience is listening right now, and I just wanted to express you know, our gratitude in having both of you on our BBS radio station, and I thank you. I think you're doing a wonderful show here, and I'm just, you know, as the producer here, I'm very glad to have you guys on board and bringing your information to the people. I really do appreciate it. It's wonderful information.
Well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure, actually, and I'm quite thrilled to be doing it. It's an honor. Thank you. And
well, thank you. Thank you. By the way, folks, the number is, and I apologize, it's 888-268-4313. And, of course, for the international callers, and we have a lot of them usually that are listening from abroad, and that's 281-419-7697. Again, I'm sorry to intrude. I just wanted to let you know about the 800 number, and thank you for being a wonderful part of our program.
It's like trying to remember your own home phone number. You remember everybody else's, but not your own.
Right. And our website is at www.mystic-creations.com. And Chris's page is on there also. Just look for Chris. And his page is there. I hope he likes it. I don't know if he's seen it or not, but I just created that for him the other day.
I haven't had time to look at it end on. We had an interesting incident here, if people don't mind general gossip. We had a storm through New Zealand just in the last few days, and it took out our power lines and phone lines, and we've only just got our phone line connected back again today.
Well, I kind of figured it was what that was, because you hadn't contacted me, and I said, well, Chris may not be able to come on tonight, but I'll make a good showing, maybe. I hope
yeah.
so.
Yeah, well, we got the phone line connected about an hour before we've come online after several days, so it all worked in perfect.
I couldn't think of anyone better that I would like to be with than Chris. He's a wonderful person. He has a better voice than I do, and he also can talk a little bit sweeter than I can. His words are pretty, mine aren't. I'm just basic, and I will tell it simple. He
yeah.
has all the fancy words. I don't.
Yeah. Thank you for that. It's all right. I'm just blushing at the moment.
I walk the path of the ancients. I am native background. My mother's mother was full blood Choctaw. My father's dad was full blood Cherokee. And on my mother's side, there was a medicine man's daughter. So I have a lot of native behind me, and I belong to four different native tribes also. I was accepted into four of them. One's the Navajo. My son is married to a Navajo lady. And then I have the Papago. I was raised with them. And let's see, I also have the Cherokee and the Choctaw. And anytime I want to go to any of those reservations, I'm just accepted. I am also known as the White One. Because I have light hair and green eyes. Let's see, what else is there about me? Oh, lived on reservations most of my life. Lived in adobe houses made of mud, if anybody doesn't know what that is. I've always known that there was something different about me. I just knew things. My mother would just say, well, silly, of course you just know things. That's just the way we are, you know. My mother was very, she didn't have very many words. She was a woman of very few words, as a matter of fact. And the fewer she said, the better she liked it. But she would give us the look, and we would know exactly what she meant. But that was just being native. That's just the way you are. You know, you're more close mouthed. Being native has helped me a lot. I have learned many, many native ways, and I have also learned through my life the different steps to go through on different studies. And I'm also a reverend, which I'm not very active at it right this moment. I have gatherings at my home, different meetings. I do readings in my home. I do all kinds of readings. I'll do tarot readings. I do psychic readings. I do dice readings, domino readings, and I also do run readings. I also make soap, and I make, no, I don't make the soap. My very dear friend Karen does. She makes the soap for me. And I make candles, perfumes.
Do you use a lot of the candles and perfumes for ritual purposes at all, Endon, or just as like a soothing, gentle, relaxing tool?
I use them for both.
Cool.
I will use them for a small ritual, but the ritual will be usually for, you know, cleansing of myself, you know.
Yep.
Nothing to harm another, you know. Also, I do spells. I make, I create my own design. Every candle is my own design. Or you can have a straightforward candle, you know. But usually, I create my own design. I create perfumes for the person.
So you actually, when you say create your own design, you're actually putting different perfumes in the candle. Do you have different colors in candles, like multicolored candles, or are they all single-colored, or how would you describe them?
A single color.
Okay.
I prefer the single color, unless somebody wants a different color, you know, like a black and white or a white and blue, something
yep.
of that sort. But I make all kinds of candles, and on my website you'll see where my money blessing candle, they won $20,000. Boy, that was, you know, that was pretty neat, you know,
yep.
right after they used it. But I'm not saying that would be the result for everything. It's the intent and the desire when you use essentials. And anybody
so
would call it.
A lot of the design you do with candles, putting the different essential oils and things into the candles to get the fragrances which work with different aspects of their health and consciousness.
Exactly, exactly.
Cool.
We'll do one on herbs and spices another time. Because there's a lot of healing factors in essential oils and in candles. So,
yep.
I mean, it's just amazing what you can do with a simple essential oil, like lavender. You use that for burns if you want to, and it won't leave a scar.
You know, I've quite often heard that lavender is a good sort of first aid essential oil, and
exactly.
it's a good kit to have, good to have in your first aid kit, I should say.
It's great for infections also.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would call us.
That's
okay,
perfect.
You're just going to have to keep talking, sweetheart.
Oh, that's perfect. I don't mind at all.
We we went over about an hour and 20 minutes. You can keep, or an hour and 30 minutes if you want to keep going, you can.
I'm actually quite happy to. I've been trying to figure out how to condense some of the stuff that we do, because usually when I do my aura workshops, they're usually 1 to 2 days long.
Right.
By the time I do the different exercises.
Okay, maybe there's a caller. Bear with me.
Yes, certainly. And if there's anybody out there who has an interest in calling, no matter how simple the question may seem or how much complicated, feel free to ring in. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, they hung up. Well, let's just find out again.
Yeah, that's what we like, is perseverance.
I think everybody's having a phone problem.
Yeah. One of the things that I have as a background, if people are interested, is, like, I've actually worked with a lot of different religious groups. I've been predominantly following a Buddhist path, but I have a lot of others that I've worked with over the years, different yogas and things like that.
That tone usually means I'm putting someone online with you in less than 5 seconds. We have someone online with you.
Hello, caller.
Hello, Endon and Chris. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi,
all right. Sarah. I just want to say y'all are great.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that, sweetie. Would you happen to have a question that we didn't focus on?
No, not right offhand. I just wanted to hear your debut show, and I missed you today when you come over.
Much appreciated, and it's really appreciated for me, Karen. And how's your day been?
It's been good. Did a lot of traveling today, but it's been good.
That's good to hear.
Now, Karen is also known as Lady Karen. She is a great reader. She reads the tarot. So she gets to hear me rambling every day about different aspects of spirituality, and she sometimes just tells me, just shut up.
I walk it, I talk it, and I just keep on and keep on with it. You know?
Yes, she does. And her candles are wonderful. Her scent, she made me my own perfume here a couple weeks ago, and it just fits me perfect. And she's just wonderful. And, Chris, I know you are, too. I've talked to you several times on the Internet, and, you know, so. You know, I just want to say y'all have done a great job tonight, and I have learned some things, even though, like Enda said, I see her every day, and she teaches me a lot and has taught me a lot, and but, you know, y'all are great.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And, yeah, hope you'll listen again in the future.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to y'all later.
All right. Thank you very much, honey. Bye-bye.
Okay.
One of the things I was going to say to those who we've got listening tonight is with End On, what I find with a lot of native cultures that we tend to miss in our Western society is actually that connectedness with what I call the earth. In Western cultures, I find we've tended to disconnect ourselves from being conscious of the earth we live on as much, whereas a lot of the native cultures actually still have a realization that that is an important part of their life, so they tend to have an interactive process going on there more constantly than we do in Western societies. They see it as a living part of their day, whereas we tend to see it as something that we live on, not live with as much. Now, that is open to variation and people's personal opinions, so I'm not saying that it has to be that way. It's just tendencies I notice.
Exactly.
But if anybody's interested in contacting Andon, that part of her upbringing and her background does give her a connection which is worth learning from.
We believe in the great creator. You know, we believe that everything is connected. We believe that life is connected. All life is connected. Everybody is your brother. Everybody is your sister, whether you're a native or you're not, or you just feel native inside. To get back to the roots of a religion, natives go way back. Everything is from the point of creation to now. And everything was from the earth. Mother Earth provided everything. And so we just are more into life itself. We're into spirits. We're into spiritual guidance. We're into, like everyone else is, but ours is just a little bit different. We have visions that we go into, and which is, again, different than what most people are used to. I mean,
and it would be worth possibly talking about that sometimes, End On, too, because I know in the experience I've had, admittedly, I'm in a different country, and it's quite away from yours. But we've had that interaction with people who are interested in these vision quests. Now, I'm sure our Western interpretation of that is quite different from what your personal experience is through your own cultures. And I think there'd be a lot of interest in that as well.
And then we'll also touch on ghost activities also.
Oh, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes. I have so many ghost stories to tell somebody. I believe in ghosts. I've hunted ghosts. Hello, caller.
Okay, we'll give them a few seconds to come through, and more than welcome. Okay, still waiting caller to come through.
The caller is online with you.
Okay, caller, you're there.
You're online now.
Yes, I am.
Okay, it's
Chris.
Christopher here and Endon. We'd
Hi.
Like to thank you, and yeah. But can we have your name, please?
Yes, this is Dan Edwards. I'm part of Endon's group.
Oh, hello,
Dan.
Hey.
How you doing, sweet?
All right, hon. I've been listening to you folks since you came on this evening.
As you can tell,
and
I'm
this
a
is a wonderful show.
Tonight.
It's a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Much appreciated, Dan. It's very kind of you.
You remember
and
Dan. He's a very nice person.
Yep, I remember we've chatted every so often, and it's it's a pleasure to have you on board, Dan. And do you listen to the show often?
Well, this is the first time that I've got to hear the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Well,
yeah.
I just
do you have any questions
know.
That you'd like to ask tonight, Dan, or anything that you feel you'd like us to elaborate on before we close for the evening?
No, you're both very thorough, so everything's all right by me. I just want to acknowledge I've been listening.
It's a pleasure, and we'd like to thank you for being on, Dan, and you have a good evening.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Dan.
You all
I do appreciate it.
Also.
Even
thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
bye.
Bye-bye.
And if there's anybody else that'd like to call in with a question or just to say hi and say thank you, you're more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you once again. And, it's been a pleasure, talking with you tonight and sharing your evening. And we hope to have you all on again and listen to some of the other shows that are on the station as well.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of wonderful shows on the station. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful information and around. I'm still a little nervous from this because I rarely talk out loud with a whole bunch of people, but one-on-one, you can't get me to shut up.
Yeah.
But
is there anything with the auras that you feel we still might need to cover end on? Do you think we've finished it sufficiently for this evening?
When you want to use an animal, like a dog or a cat, to see what their aura is, please make sure that they are resting or sleeping so that you can just kind of analyze and step back and look a little bit this way and look a little bit that way. If an animal is moving quickly or running around, you're not going to get a good interpretation of the aura. They should be resting or sleeping so you can see what's going on around your animal also.
Yeah.
And plants, the same way. You can look at it against the clouds like I do with a tree. You can look up into the tree upside down kind of, and you look up against the sky and you'll see this beautiful aura coming off the tree. And I've even noticed reds and purples and blues across the front of them, and just by looking up through them, through the sky. And it's just beautiful, the colors that will come off the tree. Then you look at it another way, and you'll see a different color.
Now, for people that are listening, what we're suggesting with auras is these are some of the tools that you can use when you're learning to develop your aura reading or aura sight skills. Once you get skilled at it, you find that you can actually read the auras almost in any situation. It's a matter of practice and getting used to it. Once you get used to it, literally you can watch animals in full gallop. For me, I can see people that are in a social situation that might be having a cocktail party or something, and I can read the auras on the trot, and you can interact with several auras. You can see how auras are interacting with each other, how people are getting along, how they're not getting along, any health issues they have on. And once you get used to it, like for me personally, I don't even need people to be in the same location for me to see them. Like I do a lot of readings in the United States and Europe, England, Australia and New Zealand with people that are totally in different locations. I can do it over the internet, I do it over the phone. So once you get proficient with reading the aura and just starting off with the basic, the gentle steps, then you can start extending it out on how you read auras and the way that you read auras. Because auras don't just have a color, they have a vibration and a feeling.
A vibration of colors, which goes back to the numbers.
Yeah.
Each number has a different vibration also. The higher the number, the higher vibration you have.
Yeah. So, if people want to play around with some of the tools that we've presented tonight, more than welcome to ask us again sometime in the future. Tune into the shows and we'll always be here. And, you can contact us and ask any questions you have from there.
Also, Chris, would you like to go through the colorings? I know yours is different than mine because I'm older than you. So I'm going back pre-70s. Colorings, and yours is probably after that because you're a much younger man. And,
thank you.
And very good looking ladies. So let's go with the color red first.
Okay. The things that I look at when I'm looking at people, the colors that I'm using predominantly first are your chakra colors. Now, I'm going to go through it from the rainbow point of view, which is what your chakras are,
right,
which is red in your base chakra. Now, this is a very quick and simplified explanation of them. Your base chakra and your red, to me, is your grounding color. It's also your connection with Earth, and it's also to do with your monetary issues. It's where things flow in and out of life. It's not just money, it's all objects. If it's underbalanced, yeah, I'll leave that to another show. Your second chakra up is yellow. Your second chakra is orange. Your third chakra is yellow. Your heart chakra is green. Your throat chakra is blue. Your third eye is indigo. And your crown chakra is violet. And those are the colors of the chakras. They're the ones that predominantly reflect in your body. Now, even though red is the color of your first chakra, which is down your sacral area, red appears in other areas of the aura, which can do with energy, it can do with any, build-up of energy that's in your body. That doesn't need to be just anger, as some people associate it with. It can just be any strong build-up of energy. Often I see it with when people are healing, whether it's somebody else or themselves. Now, orange, to me, quite often is a very healing color, even though it's the color of the second chakra, which I'll cover those issues in another show. I predominantly see orange, which is a pumpkin orange, as a healing color. Yellow is intellect, and once again, the type of intellect and how it's been affected depends on the shading. Your heart color is your green. Now, a lot of people look at that and talk about pink in the heart chakra. Your green, I find, is the more material, physical aspect of love. Your pink is more the emotional aspects of love, but yet green is the heart chakra color. Throat, which is blue, is your color of communication. Now, for me, that tends to be more of a sky blue for effective, clear communication.
More like an azure blue, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for that, Ian. I'm correct.
When
you start getting into sky blue, not sky blue, I mean sea blue, that deeper blue, and the navy blues, it's like there's a slowdown in communication, or there may be difficulties with communication. When I get into the third eye with the indigo, once again, that's your insight, it's your intuition, it's your instincts, it's a lot of other things in there involved around with sight and seeing. Your crown chakra, which is your violet, that's your connection with the upper spheres, the more enlightened realms. It's our evolutionary path. It's a connection with God, but it's not our primary connection with God. To me, that actually comes through the heart chakra, where our soul is. Our soul resides within the core of the heart. It's quite an interesting energy layer thing, that. So that's colors generally as I see them within the chakra system, which are the main ones we have in our body. Do you want me to elaborate on any others from there, Endon, or are you comfortable with that?
Well, I'm comfortable with whatever you say, but, you know,
thank you.
In a lot of things, you know, we're different in a lot of things. Like I was saying, he's more into the after the 70s, and I'm before the 70s. And so we make a good combination there because, you know, I have the ancient ways and he has the newer ways sometimes. But
yeah.
I'm talking about the different colors that are surrounding you. Now, the chakras are very, very important to a person's life. You know, they need to be balanced. They need to be cleansed to create a well-balanced body. Okay, now the colors of an aura around you was more what I was trying to get into with the red. You know, a lot of people just think red is just for love, anger, and all this and that. But it's a very forceful color, and it's an active urge. You know, it does not necessarily mean headstrong nature. Despite people saying seeing red, or it may be cool. Calculating, it can also be a very vicious color because and vengeful, you know. Red is a very popular color. It's one of the most popular colors there is when we realize that it is greatly favored by native tribes. Reds
is a color of warlike action. That's mainly why flags in the countries that all have red in them are all warlike nations. If the flag has more red in it, it's a warlike nation. Okay. Also, then you'll have the maroon color. This is like a deep hue. This shows stamina and strength in it within a person, and purpose and restraint, being able to hold back instead of just letting go.
I was going to say, and on one thing that comes to mind for the red, too, while we're talking about it, often we used to see in cartoons and comics when people were doing strong actions or sending out anger to somebody, they'd show it as lightning bolts.
Yes, and their head turning real red and steam flying out their ears.
An interesting thing there you find is when you actually watch somebody's aura, when somebody's anger and sending their anger out, it actually does look like a lightning bolt, like this used to show in cartoons. I found that quite interesting.
Well, it also shows that there is also a need for higher development in their life also.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. You know, and the maroon is a color of red also, but it's like a hue, and it's purpose, and like I say, it's restraint. It's able to hold your control, your anger a little bit better, and it also represents a true fighting spirit also, especially if you're against odds, you know. It's also a very warm color, and it can be given to a moody person also. The richer it is, the better it is. The more dull it is, the less it is. It's, you know, restricts to more of a mundane person. Okay, and then we have the scarlet, and this is, again, with the red hues. This is one who has sudden temper tantrums. Usually, that can flare up, and they often hold their actions for a long time. Their affection is also, this is old time, ancient stuff, pre-1970s, as I'm saying. This also shows that often their actions lack purpose. They just aimlessly just go after something. And also, they're superficial, and it's like a cover-up, selfish person type color. And it can also be a very highly organized color also. And pink, that's the light shade of red, as we all know. This is showing more love rather than mere affection. It's a willingness to serve and to help another person also. That's what color pink has. And if you look on the internet, it'll just say, something like love, and that's it.
I hate to interject. We'll have to shut her down soon. I'm going to be running one more audio file today, which was supposed to run at 9 o'clock. That's why all the shows got backed up with Dr. Fred Bell, who it was supposed to run at 8 to 9, and it didn't get here in time. So I was going to run it at right after you were done your show for the people. So, just letting you know, I'd love to wrap it up here. Stay online with me after your exit, and I'll fill you in on a couple things. I love the show.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Been our pleasure.
Okay, Andon, you want to wind it up for people this evening, and we'll get back to you later.
Alrighty, I have a group on Yahoo. It's called Andon's Mystic Garden Group, and you can join there if you wish. There's lots of lessons to learn from there. And also, there's our website at www.mystic-creations.com. Chris is on there also. I have candles on there and all kinds of information that a person may need to learn. Thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it. And grand blessings to everybody. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody, once again. Thank you from New Zealand. It's been an absolute pleasure being with you. And once again, if anybody wants to contact me, then contact me through Andon's website. There is another one sometimes I use, which is paranormalhelp.com. That's more for people that have issues with ghosts and other paranormal experiences in their lives. But predominantly, either of those two sites, I'm very reachable. And there is my webpage on Endon's site as well, which is open and available for anybody who wants to go in and have a look and spend some time. Thank you very much, and we'll catch us all later and hope to have you on board with us again next week. Bye.